This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey guys, it's Damon from the PureCast. The New Japan PureCast is proudly sponsored by GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for Japanese wrestling merchandise shipped straight from Japan to your mailbox. Check out their selection of in-stock merch like t-shirts, action figures, magazines, trading cards, or use their purchasing service to order items from Japanese websites like the New Japan Shop. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, GaijinCollectibles.com.
Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday morning, June 18th, at the time that we are recording this. And Damon, just to kick things off here, I've got one question for you. Are you an ass man?
I didn't expect that question so early. It's not even lunchtime yet, Colin, and you're asking me these provocative questions. Well, look, in the everyday vernacular, I certainly am. But in the pro wrestling world, I gotta say, nope, no, certainly not. And I was not expecting this. And by God, I'm. I can't believe I'm going to be seeing this match in 2017. That is for sure.
That's right, folks. Hiroshi Tanahashi defending his IC title against none other than Billy Gunn on the second night of the G1 special.
Of all people. What? I don't understand this at all. And please don't hit me up and say, well, you know, he's a name, and he was a name in the 90s. He's not, it's not like Billy Gunn is the sole reason these G1 shows are sold out. Like he is a match.
Damon, do you realize that Billy Gunn was on the first pro wrestling card that I ever went to in person? And this was like 1994. I think the main event of the show was like Taker versus Yokozuna in a casket match, and like the Smoking Guns were on the card. So I mean, that should just give you an idea of how long Billy Gunn has been around.
And I mean, here's the thing: I'm not even that concerned with he's going to, you know, he's an old guy in the ring. I mean, there's a million of old guys in the ring.
He's in great shape.
Yeah, this came out of fucking nowhere, didn't it?
It certainly did.
Would you, if I were, like, just a week ago, if I told you, yeah, they're going with Billy Gunn, you would probably jump out a window.
I can understand the logic behind putting Cody Rhodes in the main event more than I can understand this Billy Gunn in the IC title picture. I mean, is he the only guy that was available for Tanahashi to defend the title against? He couldn't be.
Well, they were going to get the Honky Tonk Man, but apparently he had a barbecue that day.
I would like to see that, actually.
Me too, actually. That would be kind of fun. I mean, and no disrespect on the Honky Tonk Man, of course. He's cool. He's cocky. He's bad.
That's right.
I could not believe what I was hearing. You know who told me first? It was a good friend, Doug, out there on the NJPW board. It got tagged on a post. And like, the post was, hey, Damon, or Jushin, whatever my Reddit name is.
Jushin.
Yeah. I know, I looked at it, 6 years I've had that account. That's longer than I've had it just about anything in my life that I haven't lost. Seriously. It's like 6 years.
We're coming up on 2 years, by the way, this summer of doing this podcast. Can you believe
that? Is this number 90?
This is episode number 90. So we are 10 episodes away from the historic 100th episode of the New Japan PuroCast.
That's going to be a party.
We've got to plan something special.
Yeah, you know what? We do. I think we got to you know, I'll work on getting some people to say some kind things about. I'll hit people up. Hey, can you record something nice about us?
I'm sure plenty of people have a lot of nice things to say about us.
I think so. I think we do a good job. I see a lot. I see, like, you know what I see a lot on Reddit and elsewhere on the interwebs. You know, people like, hey, I'm new to New Japan, and where can I catch up, or what can I, you know, listen to? And everybody, like, mentions us. I that makes me feel good inside. Makes me have faith in what we do. Anyway, so yeah, I got hit up. I got tagged on a post, and it was the exact thing that you opened the show with, you know, hey, Damon, are you an ass man? And I, you know, I'm reading this at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I don't know what this means, but it's hot.
I thought it was a joke, to be honest with you.
It was my Tinder profile.
Because I woke up in the morning.
I thought they had a match.
I usually check our Twitter feed when I wake up in the morning, and I'm seeing all these references to the badass Billy Gunn. And I'm thinking to myself, uh-oh. And sure enough, I see this match penciled in for night two of this G1 special, which I still don't know why the hell it's called the G1 special, because what does this have to do with the G1 climax?
Yeah. Yeah, there really isn't anything that is super significant when it pertains to the G1. That's for certain. Like, I don't see the connection right now, but...
There were going to be qualifying matches, perhaps, but no, none of that transpired. Instead of we're getting this U.S. title tournament, which we can certainly talk a little bit about today. But you know, I'm trying not to be too down
negative
on these cards, because as I'm looking at them, there certainly is a lot to sink your teeth into. However, it seems to me, Damon, and you know, we always try and be honest on this podcast. We never want to bullshit anyone, or we want to give you our opinion straight from the heart. And from my perspective, I really think that New Japan dropped the ball in making these shows something really special.
I agree. Now, I get the point of, hey, I'm flying in from Ohio. I'm flying in from, you know, Florida. I'm flying in from, you know, the UK, and I'm seeing a New Japan show, and these are people that I've never seen before, and so I get that, and I have to remember that, you know. So I do feel a bit, you know, I don't want to be like the guy that's, oh, I've seen this 1,000 times, but we've seen this 1,000 times. It feels like the only thing that I will say is that we are getting Naito and Ishii, which I think will be a fantastic match.
Yes.
Right? I think that's going to be a fantastic match. And for to my recollection, this is really like the first really true New Japan versus New Japan singles match that we've ever had. Like, we didn't have those on Ring of Honor shows. It's always been a Ring of Honor guy versus a New Japan guy. So you have that. There are matches that are on paper look delicious. I think Elgin and Omega looks delicious.
That should be great.
That should be great. I even think that there's who's Juice going up against in the first round? Do you have that in front of you?
Juice Robinson is going up against Zack Sabre Jr. That should be good.
That's an interesting match, right? So there are single matches there that are new to me, that are unique to me, that, yes, I am hanging my hat on. But truth be told, the rest of the show looks kind of... on paper, looks somewhat forgettable.
It doesn't look all that different from a War of the Worlds card to me. It really doesn't.
There's a lot of 6-man tags in there. Looks like they're shoveling in a lot of shit in a 5-pound bag. Yeah, I think to me, it feels like a... being a fan and watching this product for as long as I have, and even in the current modern state, because we watch every single show.
We do.
If it's put up there, we're watching it. So we do see a lot of the somewhat meaningless Road 2 shows. I just, again, maybe I worked myself into this.
Into a shoot.
Yeah. Maybe I kind of put this in my head of what this should be. But I really think that they missed the boat on taking advantage of a great opportunity with this Access TV slot. Who, by the way, I got to say, like, I had Access TV on last night. You know how you just change your channels and you just stop on something and then you wind up just – it's just on in the background. And it was all concerts. So it was all like, you know, different shows. I think it was like almost like Bret Michaels.
Hey, I'm a Bret Michaels fan.
I like Poison. I like – give me the makeup and the hair.
Give me
the
unskinny bop.
Ah, I love an unskinny bop. It's such a basic song, but it's fucking great. I like a little Cry Tough. If I'm going to go Poison, a little Cry Tough. But anyhow, every commercial spot they were putting over this G1 show, like every commercial break, they had an advertisement for this G1 show. And I was like, man, they're really – good job by Access. And Access is having that whole block of shows, right, leading up to the G1 special. This past Friday, they did a good job with Okada and Shibata. And I thought Ross and Barnett did a good job on that too.
Was that the latest episode?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good show. Because truth be told, I haven't watched the Access show in quite a while just because, you know, it's not always on my radar. But, yeah, I've heard that the commentary from JR and Josh Barnett has gotten exceedingly better.
This was good. This was a good show. I mean, if you haven't – I mean, everybody has watched Okada Shibata already, I would hope at this point. But that's another spin. There is something to be said too, Colin, about how New Japan has these different English voices. And you kind of get a different take and a different feel and in how they call the matches. You know, Kevin Kelly is a much different animal and a much different beast than Jim Ross.
He is. Don Callis from Josh Barnett.
Correct. And I almost like to hear the different ways that they call the match because they both have their certain styles and their certain inflections and their go-tos and their crutches and the things that they might miss. And it's an interesting kind of way to look at it. Like, so you hear your I'm always going to go Japanese first, but I absolutely do enjoy listening to Kevin Kelly, and I absolutely am turning the corner on Jim Ross. Whereas before I was like, you know what? I don't think Jim Ross is a good fit. I don't think Jim Ross is doing a good job. But this match, he did a good job. This match, he did a good job. Anyway, Access is doing a good job. But getting back to the original point, I really feel like New Japan missed the ball on this opportunity. Look, when they announced Dominion, you knew that we weren't getting Omega Okada 3, right? That's when we kind of were like, all right, well, looks like they're going Cody Rhodes, and obviously they did. I don't know. Here's what I really feel like. I feel like I'm rambling, but here's what I really feel like, Colin. And I want your take on this.
Sure.
Do you feel like New Japan knows their American audience?
Judging based on this card, not really, because I think that they think that the American audience, seeing a name like Cody Rhodes in the main event, they think that we think that's a big deal.
Right.
When it's not. And trust me, I have been having a lot of, not arguments, but just disagreements with people online, whether it be on Twitter or the classic board on Facebook, where people are, and again, this is their opinion. I'm not saying my opinion is the correct one, but
I am. I'm saying mine.
I know you do that. But people are trying to justify this Cody Rhodes main event by saying, look, he's a big name from you know, the biggest wrestling company in the world. He's a name that people know. And here's my argument. Cody Rhodes never drew a dime in WWE.
Right.
He never drew a dime. Now, if you had, you know, a bigger name who is a former WWE star. I'm talking, you know, your CM Punks, your Daniel Bryans. Those are guys who actually drew money and who were loved by not only the casual WWE fans, but the hardcore, you know, indie pro wrestling fans who like in-ring action. So that, like putting guys like that on your roster would bring in both of those audiences, where Cody Rhodes doesn't really bring in anyone.
Right. If we're going by just, you know, pro wrestling fandom and, you know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated time, we're, you know, Cody Rhodes was a scrub. You know, he won the, what? He was just a mid-card fucking guy.
Yeah.
He was nothing to that, like a casual, to me, I'm more worried about, if we're talking about casual fans, I'm more worried about a casual fan looking at this and being like, huh, fucking Cody Rhodes is going for their championship?
Yeah, and that sort of devalues New Japan, you know, their stars and their titles in the eyes of those fans that you're talking about. Like, what's Stardust doing in the main event?
Right.
This must not be a big deal.
Right. The people who give a shit about work rate and, you know, five stars and, you know, us dopes. Yeah, we look at it like, okay, why is he even in this? You know, this is not a good fit from a New Japan perspective, right? But the casuals who apparently are going to come in droves over Cody Rhodes, it's like, okay, the arguments that we have with them are, hey, I don't think he's a good fit for New Japan. I don't, you know, he's, you know, our great point is name me a great Cody Rhodes match, but that's not even the biggest issue. The biggest issue is, okay, so if he's supposedly the guy that's going to be the recognizable name and bring casual fans in, to me, I think a casual fan looks at this again and says, this guy is going for the biggest championship in this promotion. I thought this was like a big deal promotion. And that's not the feeling I get. I feel like these casuals are kind of like somewhat giggling.
Yeah. And I still am of the mindset that putting a Cody Rhodes in the main event kind of says, look, these ex WWE stars, they're bigger stars than our guys.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the message it sends to me.
It kind of feels that way too. And again, I think the Billy Gunn thing speaks to that even louder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now listen, these are matches that, again, who knows where in the fuck we're going with this, but these are matches that you would think and you would assume would be, okay, Okada gets a pin against a guy that people know, right, on live TV, and we move on from there, right? That's how you would hope things would go.
I don't think that's the case here.
I'm worried. I'm not going to lie. Like, you would think that I would be, like, completely okay with this. I'm not okay with this right now. There's too much whispers and rumbling and too many theories and too many – where there's smoke, there's fire, as they say. All right. Fuck it. Colin. They're not going to fucking have him win this belt.
I think there's a good chance. I really do. Because people are talking about the storyline implications that this could have pertaining to perhaps like a power struggle between Kenny Omega and Cody as who is the leader of the Bullet Club, because obviously they couldn't do that storyline because Adam Cole left the territory, so to speak. So I really do think that there is a possibility of Cody taking the title and then Omega chasing him.
Well, I mean, give me a percentage. Give me your gut.
I'm going to say that it is 60%.
Wow.
That Cody walks away as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Yeah.
That's really.
Well, look, we had a gut feeling, Damon, that they were going with Cody Rhodes in the main event, and everybody told us that that was insane. And look at what our main event is.
On live TV.
Yeah, on live TV, on the first ever North American show that is live, that is supposed to be a New Japan production. This is our main event. Okada versus Cody Rhodes. And look, it'll be a good match. I have no doubt about that. It's impossible, dare I say, for Okada to have anything less than 4 stars, it seems like, right? I mean, even with Bad Luck Fale, the matches are very, very good.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good match. But look, I'm not into this this Bullet Club power struggle storyline that I think they're headed towards. I'm just not into it. It does nothing to excite me as a pro wrestling fan who watches New Japan for pro wrestling.
I really got fucking depressed.
I'm sorry, man. Look.
I really did. Like, I really got fucking low here. Wow. 60%, huh?
Yeah, look, you asked me to tell you what I feel in my gut. That's what I feel. 60% Cody walks out of there, IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Also, another reason why I think that they think this is a big deal, Cody Rhodes is most likely going to be the ROH World Champion. And so you are conceivably going to see the world champion from, I guess we could say, the second biggest North American company in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Versus New Japan's world champion. And if this were back in the Jay Lethal days, remember the Jay Lethal days when he was on that epic tear and he was just, he was ROH world champion for all that time. I think it would have been a bigger deal then if you had the old Jay Lethal as ROH World Champion going up against Okada as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. We even talked about that match with Kevin Kelly, if you remember, when we interviewed him way back in the day. He had mentioned that as sort of a dream match. I think that would be a bigger deal. This, you know, Cody, the new ROH World Champion, supposedly going up against Okada, who has just been on this, you know, legendary run as IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I don't know. It does nothing for me personally. Maybe there are listeners out there right now who think that is a big deal to them.
Do you think it's a big deal in Japan?
No.
Do you think, I don't either.
No.
I really don't. I think and here's the thing. Okada is on a massive roll as a draw. You know, they were mentioning that house that they drew for Shibata, and I think Shibata, the intrigue of the Shibata match had a lot to do with it. But you know, let's go back, and that match and that show and that card, that's the biggest audience in Sumo Hall, minus, you know, G1s, that they've had in years. I mean, I can't imagine this meaning dick all to a Japanese audience. Like, if they do this, they really are catering to a fan base that, oh, here we go. I was going to say something here.
Uh-oh.
Fuck it. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
They're catering to a fan base that doesn't fucking deserve it.
Wow. Harsh words from Mr. McDonald.
I think so. I mean, I really,
who is the fan base that they're catering to that doesn't deserve it? Explain yourself.
It's not a Japanese audience, right?
Right.
This, like, if they do this to Cody Rhodes, like, move the title to Cody Rhodes, this is from day one, Colin, I've sat here and I've said, hey, listen, we North Americans and elsewhere, non-Japanese
English speakers.
I mean, you could be speaking another language, but again, you're just not based in Japan. This promotion is not for you, right? You follow it and you love it and you watch it, but at the end of the day, they're there to draw a Japanese audience.
It's right? All about the island.
It is all about the island. Well, okay. Now, as we have grown this show, their business model has said, okay, we're going to try to do well in Japan, but we're also going to expand our audience because we see that there is a potential new audience within North America. Right. And that's been a progression since this show. And as we move forward, it feels like that progression and as we move forward, their focus and their business model is becoming more trying to grab those casual New Japan fans and new fans.
You know how sometimes on this podcast I'll bring up my buddy from work that I talk to, who's a casual fan, you know, who will check out New Japan matches if I tell him something was really good. Are they catering to that guy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I don't think that's the right route to go. I really don't.
But then who else are they catering to if they do this? And again, they may not do this. We might see a fucking Rainmaker 1-2-3, and all this is for fucking naught.
Sure.
Right? But listen, you're not the first person to tell me they feel 60% or more. I had one person that I really talked to and trust that told me, this is a fucking slam dunk. You're getting fucking cornholed.
Wow.
Right? You're seeing this. You're seeing this. See, here's the thing, though. I feel like I came across as a big twat.
When? Every day, like but...
when I said, like, you know, fans that don't deserve it, that's horse shit. Let's be honest here. That's horse shit. We know that. That's me spouting.
Who are you to say who deserves it and who doesn't, Damon?
Well, I know.
What are you, the czar of the wrestling world here? New Japan czar?
All right, I get it. All right. But that was a little out line. But my point being is that this is who we're catering to. We're catering to people who, and I don't even think Cody Rhodes is that guy as well. Like, I thought Kenny Omega was that guy.
Yeah, he's the guy who we thought was going to play a crucial part in New Japan history by waving the flag, being the standard bearer for this North American audience, and this being the face of this expansion is what I'm getting at.
We sat here and we said, there's no way that Kenny Omega is coming into Los Angeles without wearing a title, right?
We all thought that made sense for him to come in as champ, right?
Okay. And then we said, well, there's no way he's leaving Long Beach without that title. Okay. Now he's...
I think that there's...
I hate to say this. He's in a meaningless fucking tournament for a meaningless title that, again, the goal is to make it a big title and to make it a big deal. But right now, I don't care what it is. Right now, it's meaningless.
Well,
right now, it has no history. It has no juice. It has no...
Juice is in the tournament. What are you talking about?
My bad. But you know what I mean? This is a meaningless title right now. It has to be built. It has to be, you know... And I don't think Kenny Omega is winning this title, right?
Well,
as a matter of fact, I don't think so.
How about this, Damon? How about this? I know we're kind of in a bit of a cesspool here with our negativity. How about we go through these cards, talk about some of the positive matches that we are excited about, and then we'll interject our thoughts as we go along. How does that sound?
I created a class system from New Japan fans.
Boy, you are. You were on
Class
a mad pair
a.
today.
Oh, boy. All right. See what this has done, though? See what this has done?
It's created a lot of anxiety, a lot of turmoil,
I'm saying things I don't mean.
lot of divisiveness.
Right. Right. Help us out here. Let's get out of the cesspool.
Okay, so Saturday, July 1st, G1 special in the USA, Long Beach Convention Center. Damon, you will be there, as will many other great New Japan fans from all over the world. Now, first match. I think that this is really good. We've got a 10-man tag here. On one side, we've got Roppongi Vice, the Briscoes, and Will Ospreay taking on the Young Bucks, Marty Scurll, Yujiro, and Bad Luck Fale. That should be a good opener.
That's 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag. I mean, look at all the names. I mean, you're opening up with a 10-man tag.
Yeah.
And again, maybe their idea is, how they always bring out like the good workers in the first match, you would get Pillman Liger first,
in a
open
mall.
A show. Yeah. In a mall.
Next to Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Yeah. Yeah. And Hulk Hogan's pasta. Pasta mania.
Pasta mania, brother.
Oh, Hulk. The talent in the ring is off the charts. It's crazy.
I think you'll be a bit more excited about the second match.
But here's the thing. I'm excited for the match, but how much time can they possibly give them?
Well, it is a 20-minute time limit. I will say that. So I think we're looking at a 10-minute match.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot that's going to happen in 10 minutes. That's for sure. That's going to be the dictionary definition of a schmoz. Woo.
If they give this next one like 15 minutes, I think it could be great. We've got an 8-man tag featuring Titan, Dragon Lee, Volador Jr., and Jushin Thunder Liger versus Hiromu Takahashi, Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. That should be really good.
Why can't I sound like a spoiled brat, but are we going to get a Takahashi Dragon Lee match?
No, we are not.
Right.
You will see them compete in the ring in the confines of this 8-man tag, however.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, this is an 8-man tag where... it's frustrating right now because everyone who told me that, dude, you're getting a glorified War of Worlds or a glorified Road 2 show.
They were somewhat.
I'm let down, man. This is I don't want to see this. I mean, there's a ton of talent in the ring, but it's like in this environment, I don't want to see this. Sorry. I want to see a Takahashi Dragon Lee match. I want to see, and everybody said, hey, listen, you're expecting a lot out of these things. And I think that
I saw one person on Twitter say, like, okay, what did you guys expect? Wrestle Kingdom?
No.
In America? No. But we did expect something a bit more special.
These matches, these opening matches are not special. They're not special. And anybody who tries to convince me otherwise, they're just dead wrong. They're not special matches. These are going to be, spotty, as the kids like to say, these fun matches. Well, okay, that's what we're going to get. And I think it's going to be enjoyable. I think everyone will enjoy that, but not memorable. Okay, go ahead.
All right, then we start the first round of the IWGP U.S. Heavyweight Title Tournament. So we're going to see Jay Lethal versus Hangman Page. Damon, that's a Ring of Honor match. Am I wrong?
That's a Ring of Honor match. That's a Ring of Honor match.
That's something you would see at the old 2300 Arena down the street, right?
Yup. No, without question.
Okay, well, you're flying to the other side of the country to see it.
I know. That's why I'm really not in a good place. I know I'm going to have fun this weekend. I know I'm going to meet some awesome people. I always do. I'm the center of the hurricane, Colin. It's going to happen.
We were talking about that.
We were. Well, listen, Hurricane Damon is coming to fucking Long Beach. You're right. I could see this. And again, let's remove this negativity. Push it away. There are plenty of people who are coming here who have never saw this match live.
That's right.
I feel like I've seen this match 750,000 times. But there are people that are coming here. It's not just about me, but there are people that are coming here to watch this Ring of Honor match. This is a Ring of Honor match. Yes.
The second match in the U.S. title tournament, Juice Robinson versus Zack Sabre Jr. I think that will be quite good.
I'm into this. I think this match has the potential to be one of those. I want to go out on a limb and say steal the show, but I think people will be talking about this match as they exit and meet up at Congregation Ale House in Long Beach post show. It will be a very good match, and it's an interesting match. And to even me, this is a fresh matchup. So I'm into this match absolutely. Any predictions first? Who moves on Lethal Hangman Page?
Well, I will tell you this. The way that this bracketing works is that the winner of the Kenny Omega match is going to face the winner of the Jay Lethal match. And the winner of the Zack Sabre match is going to face the winner of the Naito match. Now, in a perfect world, we would see Omega versus Lethal.
Right.
Sabre versus Naito. And then the following night, in the finals, Omega versus Naito in the G1 rematch. But
okay. give me your percentage of that happening.
Well, here's the thing. We know from watching the New Japan Cup, New Japan doesn't really book their single elimination tournaments like that.
Right.
They don't. I think that they're, I don't think it's a lock. Let's put it this way. I don't think it's a lock that Kenny Omega is going to be the IWGP US champion. I don't either.
I don't. I think there's a very low chance, because here's the thing. He would have to beat Elgin, right?
Right.
And then he takes on the winner of Lethal and Hangman Page, right?
Correct.
Even if Omega won, because I think Hangman Page goes deep. I don't think Lethal makes it out of the first round.
I don't think so either, because they really like Hangman Page.
Right.
And he's Bullet Club.
Right. And they're not going to do Bullet Club versus Bullet Club.
No.
So Elgin makes it out of the first round.
Quite frankly, Elgin needs a win.
He really does.
Of some sort. Jesus.
If you put a gun to my head and said, who's winning this thing, I'm saying Elgin.
I'm saying Elgin, too. So Elgin versus Hangman Page, huh?
That's how I see that one going.
All right.
I don't see Lethal making it out of the first, right?
No.
And they're not going to do Bullet Club. And so you think there's going to be some disappointed people when Kenny Omega loses?
I think it's a strong possibility, but...
There's going to be some sad faces.
They should kind of know better, though. Like, if they
watch, should have known better. We should have known better for months.
Yeah, you're right. But if they watch the product, if they watch the New Japan Cup every year, they should know the booking isn't really like that. It's not, you know, the obvious, Kenny Omega in the finals. No, it doesn't work like that, kids.
Yeah. All right, so we're saying Elgin moves on. We're saying Hangman Page moves on.
Yep, Elgin and Hangman Page, I think we can say, are moving on. Damon, we got another 8-man tag coming up. We've got Finley.
This is turning into a nightmare.
Finley, Jay White, Kushida, and Tanahashi picking on Sho Tanaka, Yohei Kamatsu, Yoshitatsu, and Billy Gunn. Wow. Are you pumped?
No, I'm not. Why am I not bumped?
And this is going to be on TV, live, for the world to see.
Goodness gracious.
What a great example of the New Japan product.
But again,
Billy Gunn and Yoshitatsu.
There's a lot of talented guys in that ring, mind you, and a lot of young kids that are going to get some TV time, which is nice. But yeah. This is nonsense. This, like, I don't know. Oh, I feel so let down. All right. It doesn't really. I mean, I think. All right. Do you think Billy Gunn gets the win? Let me ask you this: who does Billy Gunn pin in this match?
Oh, Billy Gunn could pin David Finley.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh. He's getting the win, right?
Makes all the sense in the world. He has a title match the next night.
Holy fuck. This is 2017 we're talking about here, Colin.
Yes, Billy Gunn on a New Japan show in a major title match, taking on one of the greatest professional wrestlers, you know, in the past decade.
I feel like right now somebody gave me a tab of acid, and I'm tripping balls right now because this can't be real.
Damon, I'm clear and sober right now, and I can tell you this is as real as it gets.
Wow. Oh, am I going to be drinking in Long Beach?
Well, what was that old NWO saying? If you don't like it, how did that go? You got to admit it's the best thing going today.
Learn to love it.
Yeah, whether you like it or you don't like it, you got
to
admit.
Learn to love it.
Oh God.
My head is ready to explode. It's unbelievable.
It gets better, though.
All right.
And I'm being serious. Okay, so we're going to see an IWGP heavyweight title match. We've got G.O.D., the new champs, defending against Hanson and Rowe, War Machine.
Okay. I mean, they've worked enough together to have some chemistry, right?
I give that 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe that I'm excited to see G.O.D. and War Machine, but I am. No title change, right?
I don't think so. No,
they're not going to hot potato those titles.
No, I kind of hope they don't.
Me too. I mean, I don't want them to be treated like the Never Six Man.
I like War Machine as the champions, but you know, the G.O.D. just won at Dominion.
Okay. So I'm going to put some more fear in your heart.
Okay.
Night one. How many title defenses are there on night one?
On night one, there are, let's see. We have got
the tag belts,
and we've got the main event for the heavyweight title. Two title defenses, okay. Yes.
So we're not going to change the titles on this match.
Nope. But the main event, the next two matches should be stellar, and I'm not joking. Okay. So we're going to see.
Wait. Here's the thing too, Colin.
Okay.
Even the 8 minutes that he gave in the opening match and the 8 minutes that they give in the second match and all these tag matches, the matches are going to be fun and they're going to be exciting. There's going to be, you know, holy shit chance, I'm sure. It'll be fine.
Fight forever.
The matches, but yeah, them fight forever.
Get Damon a beer.
I might not make it to the show.
That'll be a chant. Get Damon a Guinness.
Get me a Guinness. Yeah. They're going to be good, fine matches. They're going to be good matches.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
The next two should be very good, though. So Ishii versus Naito. Come on. That should be great. That should be fucking great. I love Ishii and Naito in the ring together. They had two great matches last year. They had that one from the New Japan Cup. They had one at Dontaku, if my memory serves me correctly. This should be wonderful.
I'm hanging my hat on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really going all in.
This will be match of the night, I predict.
I think so. It has to be. It has to be.
And Ishii's not a guy who goes to the States to take a night off.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll shine. Naito, I think everybody's looking to this match to be the standout and the star of the show. They have to be.
And Naito's going to get the biggest pop of the night. I also make that prediction.
Omega.
You think so?
Yeah.
I you know what? I think it'll be split.
I think
it'll be pretty close, cuz
I promise you that in that building, every third person's going to have a Bullet Club or Kenny Omega t-shirt.
You're right.
That building's going to be – he's going to get the loudest.
I'd be wearing my LIJ shirt if I was there.
I'm bringing my Captain New Japan shirt.
Ah. Well, speaking of Kenny Omega, Elgin versus Omega. Again, we know these guys have very good chemistry in the ring together. They've had great matches before. I have no doubt that they'll have a great match here in Long Beach.
Again, I'm hoping that they save me from
yourself.
For myself. I need your guidance, kids. Let's make this happen. Big time match, live TV. Yeah, I think it has the makings of being special. So, fingers crossed on that one.
And then of course the heavyweight title match, Okada defending against Cody. I can't believe we're saying that. I really can't.
Yeah.
Shouldn't he be on Money in the Bank tonight? Shouldn't he be with Shinsuke Nakamura?
Ding. I don't know how I feel about this right now, Colin, in the sense of who's walking away. This really reeks of a title change.
I'm going Cody, man. I'm going Cody because look at this storyline wise. Look at the mad tear that Okada has been going on. Just the epic legendary run. And let's take a look at his matches. Wrestle Kingdom 11 against Kenny Omega. One of the greatest matches of all time. An exhausting match. Okada versus Shibata. A war. Okada versus Tiger Mask W, which a lot of people forget about that. Another... Sure. Great match. Okada versus Fale. He had to go through the big Fale. The 60-minute, 6 1/4 star match that we saw last week. I mean, Okada, storyline-wise, is exhausted. And I think that Cody is going to take advantage of that. A fresh Cody. Fresh off of his wins, actually. One at Juice. The Dome from Juice, yep. And you know, most recently Elgin.
And Finley.
This makes sense. I'm sorry to say.
I can't believe it.
Could you imagine that is who ends Okada's legendary title run? Cody Rhodes. Not even Cody Rhodes.
Cody.
Cody, right. Who's a fine wrestler, mind you.
Yep.
Great 3 3/4 star talent. Nothing wrong with that. You need those guys.
Yep. Well, look.
Probably loves the business. I'm sure he does. In his blood. You know, we can go on and on, but this is not Okada versus Shibata. This is not. I'll tell you what. I'm going to throw this out there, Damon, and I'm going to ask you to pick one. And this is a serious question.
Go ahead.
Which would you prefer to see, Okada versus Cody or Okada versus Yuji Nagata?
Yuji Nagata, yeah, absolutely, hands down, without question, without hesitation.
There you go. And I think that this show was sort of an opportunity to do something like that. Like, we didn't necessarily need to see Okada versus Omega, but how about Okada versus, you know, an established New Japan star who people like and
who could take a fall,
who can take a fall, who's a good worker, who has, you know, maybe even a legendary status in Japan. You know, Yuji Nagata is a perfect example of everything I'm describing there. Kojima. Look,
I can't. Look, that's a perfect example of New Japan not knowing their audience. Like, to me, how could you not bring over a guy like Kojima in a meaningless? If you're gonna stick a guy in a meaningless multi-man tag match, Kojima, and again, it is geared toward. I mean, you know, the hardcore New Japan fans, right? And the whole bread club thing and all. But you mean to tell me that the people that are going to this show that sold out Long Beach without even hearing the show wouldn't have been thrilled to see Kojima? That's where this is puzzling to me. That's where it feels like to me that somebody is in their ear saying, no, the American audience wants this. And they're not really even talking to the people. Like, I just feel like they don't get their American audience.
I don't feel
that way, and I don't want that to come across as like this fucking elitist
no
jerk. I don't feel that way because I want this product to grow and I want this product to be popular. I want them to make as much money as they can because I want them to be around to the day I die. I don't think this is that they know their audience.
The people who listen to this podcast and who subscribe to NJPW World. And you know,
stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right. And who spend money on this product. Maybe I'm dead wrong, Damon. I've been wrong many, many times before. But
I haven't.
I know you haven't. Never. You're perfect.
About four sit-ups away from perfection.
I don't think that Cody in the main event is what they had in mind. The audience I'm talking about, the ones spending money. I think that they would be happier with a Yuji Nagata in the main event. Or, I mean, there's a lot of people I think you could put in that position on this card that aren't Kenny Omega and.
Right, I mean, you don't have to go and do Omega Okada 3.
No,
I mean. You don't have to do that, and I get that. And okay, I feel like there's a missed opportunity, but okay, whatever. Or two, you know, whatever it is. We had a six and a quarter star match, right? Who could complain about that? I don't care where they do that.
Do you think he rated it that to piss people off? By the way, I think he kind of did.
I don't. I really feel like he thought it was the greatest match that he's ever seen.
I think so too. But you know, six and a quarter, like seeing that on paper is kind of funny.
It is funny. It's hilarious. I think I cracked up laughing, but I also read that last paragraph of his.
Yeah.
And what he wrote about, you know, was Flair Steam. We talked about it on this show. I feel like, you know,
sure did.
A lot of the things that we talk about when it came to that match were echoed in print by Dave. And again, me and Dave have very similar tastes. So, it was kind of refreshing to hear the things that he did, but yeah, I'm sure he's trying to take the piss, right? He's trying to fucking, get. It's a funny six and a quarter.
Yeah,
love
it's
it.
Amazing,
love it. Yeah, but, it is. That was amazing.
Yeah, getting back to what we were saying though, with Okada versus Cody, I think that there are plenty of other legends on the New Japan roster who are actual New Japan stars that could have been put in this position, and it would have made people happy, and it would have given Okada another win. It would have been a good match. This is I don't like the uncertainty that is surrounding this whole thing.
Here's where the proof's going to lie, Colin.
Okay.
So if they do this, it's really what happens afterward that's really going to tell the tale of how successful and if this was a good idea or not, right? Because eventually they have to leave the United States and go back to Japan. And they're going to go back to Japan with Cody having a title, the largest title in the company, right? So there's going to be at least one house that he's going to have to draw, right?
Right.
That's going to be the proof in the pudding. Does the Japanese audience, who, again, as much as we point toward the expansion in the U.S., that really is their core audience, even though the growth potential really doesn't feel like it's there. It should be there, but it doesn't really feel like it. Well, you know, I say that but, you know, they've been drawing their best houses, you know, in forever. So, you know, maybe there is an upswing there. Regardless, there's going to be something done with Cody, with him holding that title, where he's going to have to draw a house.
So what's a safe bet he's in the G1 then? I mean, if he's going to be IWGP Heavyweight Champion, I think he was probably going to be in the G1 anyway.
Yeah, well, he said he was, wasn't he?
I don't know if he confirmed it. I think it was sort of like a, you know,
tongue-in-cheek thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's here. I think he's in.
I think he's in.
But isn't he booked? Like, I thought he was booked for somewhere else during that time frame.
I'm unclear about Cody's schedule, but
yeah, I don't have that. I don't have his itinerary in front of me. here's another thing too. I'll give Cody is that that guy's putting in the fucking miles.
Hey,
putting in the miles.
He certainly is. But one other thing I want to make a point of, and I believe this. I think that everything that he has been doing since he left WWE, you know, whether it be wrestling for PWG at Bola last year, the stuff that he's been doing with Ring of Honor, the stuff that he's been doing with New Japan. All of this is really, at the end of the day, to go back to his original company as a bigger star and make more money. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. Yeah. He's gone into business for himself.
Right. But, you know, you agree, though, that this is, you know, his end game is to be back there, I think.
Yeah.
As a bigger star.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In the main 100%. Event picture against AJ Styles and, you know.
Yeah. I would...
That's the end game here, kids. This isn't... Yeah.
Right. All right. So, again, you're saying there's a better than 60% chance of this happening.
And then when he comes back, you can have JBL say, hey, former IWGP heavyweight champion, Maggle, same as Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles. See, it all plays into that theory.
I'm split right down the middle of this happening or not. This could all be for naught. This could all be for... You know, we're going to see a rainmaker and 1, 2, 3, and away we go. Or maybe Kenny Omega causes a fuck, you know. But, man, I tell you what, just looking at this thing from a distance, it doesn't look good.
So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you're feeling the same way as myself and Colin, that this would be a bit of a mistake, we might be in for a disappointing night.
Now, night two, of course, we're going to see the conclusion of the U.S. title tournament, which, again, what did we predict?
Elgin.
Yeah, yeah. So we're saying that Elgin versus Hangman Page.
Yep.
And then, okay, so the second match would be the Zack Sabre Jr. winner versus the Naito winner. So either Sabre or Juice.
Well, here we go. So I think it's going to be Juice,
okay.
Right? Because, well, it's not going to be Ishii and Zach because, well, it could be Ishii, Zach.
It could.
What are you thinking? I think Juice. I think Juice moves on, and I think...
I'm thinking Juice versus Naito.
I'm thinking Ishii.
You're thinking Ishii, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that would... again, we talked about the booking that they do with these single elimination tournaments. So yeah, that's a good. Yeah, I think that's a good guess.
Like you're not going to give Naito this title, right?
No.
And yes, you could go as a main event. Elgin. Could you go Elgin Naito?
Yeah, I think you could, but again, I don't think they're doing that. I think okay, so we're gonna have Elgin versus Hangman Page, we're saying, and then Juice versus Ishii.
Okay. Do you think we get Elgin Ishii?
I think we get Elgin Juice. I don't know, man. This is a tough call.
But I'm going Elgin Ishii.
Okay, Elgin Ishii. That's a solid final. If you're going to go that route, that's a solid final.
That's a solid final. And here's the thing. Knowing Mike Elgin, you would think that would be a match that he would be kind of pushing for.
Yeah, I mean, you remember their match from the G1 a few years back?
Yeah.
Damn good
match. I mean,
match.
That might be something that he's kind of whispering in someone's ear saying, hey, if we can make this happen, I let's make this happen.
Whispering in Damon's ear.
Call somebody. So, okay, that would be good, right?
Yeah.
I would take that.
That would be good. I think I do think a lot of people are going to be disappointed, though, when they see that Omega's not winning this tournament.
I would be shocked if Omega won this tournament. Because I hate to say it, this title is below Kenny Omega.
Yeah, and I think that we are going to see Omega versus Okada 3 before the end of the year. I think we're going to see it at Sumo Hall.
I think, yeah. Well, King of Pro Wrestling, something along those lines. Again, let me be clear, because maybe I wasn't before, but let me be very clear that again, I heard that they were trying to get something on the East Coast this year. Again, there's no announcement. There's no building. There's no nothing. But, you know, then we went on our little speculation thing.
So it's at the Hammerstein Ballroom in September.
October 4th.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Oh, no, not Hammerstein. Madison Square Garden.
Oh, okay. MSG. They're going to fill that up. 20,000.
At the Felt Forum.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, closed circuiting it as well. And they're going to do closed circuit to arenas all over the country.
They should do a WrestleMania 2 gimmick. Let's have
exactly
it in three different cities.
Multiple locations. Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's do Chicago, Allstate Arena.
Now we're talking.
Madison Square Garden.
And we'll do the Staples Center in L.A.
Yeah, there you go.
Got it, man.
That's what the next one's going to be, kids.
That's what they're doing.
I can't wait to wake up tomorrow and see that on.
Oh, silly us. Okay, so you're saying what else do we have on the show? That's it, right?
Well, two matches.
That's it? Okay.
We've got Hiroshi Tanahashi, of course, defending against Billy Gunn in what will be a nice, cozy defense, first defense for Tanahashi.
Yep, that's a Tanahashi win, obviously.
Yeah, he's not going to have to, you know, I hate to say it, he's not going to have his full Japan working boots on here.
No. Yeah, we're not seeing Tokyo Hiroshi Tanahashi.
What's the star ceiling on that match, Damon?
3.5.
Okay, yeah, 3.5, 3.75, maybe. Okay. Well, we're going to see that, and we're going to see a rematch from Dominion, IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles, the Bucks defending against Roppongi Vice, and what I'm sure will be a very good match.
You want to make this a little bit more Americanized?
Sure.
There's a lot of clamoring that we want to do these with tables and ladders. Not tables, just ladders.
So a ladder match for the Junior Tag Titles.
Again, nothing has been set in stone, but both teams have mentioned the ladders. I'm going to be surprised if we get that stipulation announced soon.
Well, that would be
that? You happy for that?
Hey, that would be the first ladder tag match in New Japan history, I believe.
I'm sure somebody will tell us. No, it was Kengo Komura.
I will say this. I don't like when they do things just to appease an American audience. Like they think an American audience needs this to be a ladder match. When
Colin, guess what? That's what these fucking shows are.
I mean
that you just summarized my point in one sentence that I've talked about the entire fucking show. That sentence.
People
can
just fast forward to this timestamp, really.
yeah, I mean, because that's the challenge that we have, right? That's the challenge we got going on right now with people who have watched this product since the early 80s, and what these shows are smelling like.
Let me ask you this. Do you need a ladder match, or would you be fine with just a regular title defense?
Here's what the ladders look. It's going to be a great match if they chuck a couple ladders in there.
Sure.
Right. I mean, the Bucks came off that ladder match with the Hardys that will have some people talking, you know, in their match of the year contention. Right. There's people that love that match. And I thought that match was great. It was a great match. So it does add that car crash element that people can connect with and gravitate to, and they can, you know, pop out of their chairs. So they can add it. They can add that element, and it'll be great.
Well, Damon, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Again, it's just that I'm looking at my ticket right now. You know what it says on the ticket?
What's that?
It says New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. ROH isn't on there anywhere, right?
No.
It says New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling. It even says New Japan Pro Wrestling, Colin. King of Sports.
Wow.
King of Sports, yeah.
We're the king of podcasts. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a New Japan show I'm going to, Colin. It feels like I'm going to a real solid fucking, you know.
War of the World show.
Schmaz of different promotions, you know. A melding of different promotions, which is cool, right? It's cool. We got a little CMLL, we got a little Ring of Honor, we
Teton,
got a little Volador
Jr. You'll get to see those guys.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like I'm going to a New Japan show.
No.
Right now it doesn't. All right.
Well, now that we've sufficiently brought everyone down, and you know,
I know we're gonna get hammered. We're gonna get hammered for the negativity. Negative Damon is in full fucking effect. I'm gonna get smashed.
Well, here's the thing: we call it as we see it. This is how we feel at the show. I'm not gonna bullshit you and tell you I'm super excited about these cars. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit here and try and build.
Sell you right. Yeah. I think it would come across as very insincere. I think people would be able to read right through it. I'm gonna be honest with you. I couldn't fake it if I wanted to. If I got paid money to do it.
Yeah, could you imagine if we were sitting here talking about how Okada versus Cody is going to be like the match of the century? Come on.
I know.
We're not going to do that.
I couldn't do it. I can't do it. No. All right. So there you go. We'll take our lumps as we get them.
Moving past the G1 special in the USA, though, leads us to my favorite part of the year, not just in pro wrestling, but in general. G1 Climax time, G1 27. I thought that today, to kind of close out the show, we'd talk a little bit about who we think are the lock participants in the G1, and you know, maybe there'll be some surprises thrown in as well.
Right. Well, let me start with surprises.
Okay.
Because, Colin, I don't know if you know, but there has been in recent weeks a little bit of a working relationship between New Japan Pro Wrestling and All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Little Birdie told me that.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. Now, keep in mind that All Japan has one of their biggest show of the year somewhere in that G1 world. It might be like a day or two after or right near the final. So scheduling might be iffy. But wouldn't it be something if you saw like a Kenta Miyahara show up at a fucking G1? That would be as pants down. That would be pants down. And so that's that for the rumor mill. If we could find a way to make something like that happen, that would be lovely. Do I think it will happen?
I would like that because it would expose people who don't necessarily watch any other Puduresu to some guys from All Japan, just like last year's tournament did with the Noah guys, with Kojima. I mean, I didn't really know Kojima. Or not Kojima. I'm sorry.
You meant the Noah guys.
Nakajima. I'm sorry.
Like, you know Kojima? What are you saying?
Yeah, like Nakajima. Of course, Marufuji I knew. But it was nice to see those guys in the tournament, and I think it really added a lot to it. So I'm hoping for what you're saying. Maybe some All Japan action in this tournament.
And what's my big thing, Colin? I want the strength of pro wrestling is good for everyone. Right, I'm a huge fan of that, and All Japan has had a little bit of a rebound. You know, they've found a way to get some asses in Corkin and get some nice houses, and that's good for them. Maybe even some more additional exposure. Again, more eyeballs on a product, I'm all about it. So, honestly, I mean, I would be thrilled if it happened. I don't know if it is, but again, there's a lot of whispering going on.
Well, let's talk about the wrestlers who are a lock to be in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you can go down the list. I mean, like, obviously your Okadas, obviously your Tanahashis, obviously your Naitos, obviously your Elgins. Ishii definitely is in.
Evil, what do you think? Sonata?
Yeah, I think Evil and Sonata are definitely in. I can't imagine them not. I hear Yuji Nagata, this is his last one.
That is correct. Yuji Nagata's last tournament. Let's talk about that for a second, because last year was Hiroyoshi Tetsuzan's last tournament, and he had that one big match against Ishii early on in the tournament where he won, and then that was it for Tenzan's big run. Now, look, we can't take Yuji Nagata to the finals, of course. I don't want to see him in the finals, but could we maybe is there a chance of maybe having him go on just a bit of a tear there for a while, just a bit of a run?
I think there is, and I think that the deciding factor in that, Colin, is Tenzan. Let's be honest, Tenzan could barely walk to the fucking ring, you know, after match three. You know, you look back at some of those matches, the poor guy could barely walk, let alone wrestle. And I think Yuji Nagata is in a much better physical way. So that he can have competitive matches and he can, you know, physically. G1 is draining. Listen, the training that I remember hearing about AJ and the training that he did and the cardio that he did to lead up to a G1. It's brutal. And you know, by night four, these guys are banged up and hurting, and they're powering through trying to have solid matches. So, yeah, I think there is a possibility. You could absolutely have Yuji Nagata, you know, have a little mystery, you know, kind of be in the mix as we close out some of these shows. I think that's a fair thing that can happen. And I think the possibilities of that happening are much better than Tenzan was last year.
How about Yoshihashi? Is he in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say yes too. Hiroki Goto, I say yes.
Yes, yes.
Juice Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's absolutely deserved a spot. I think I can't imagine him not, right? I think that would be a huge disservice to him, and I think he's earned it. And again, he's not gonna be in the mix. He'll be one of those guys that loses more than he wins. But yeah, I think Juice is absolutely in it.
We know that Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be in the tournament.
What do you think his chances?
Well, look, I think that there's a lot of great matches. I mean, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Okada, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Omega. I mean, there's a ton of possibilities. I'm more interested in that for, you know, the matches that we're going to see. Yeah. As far as Zack Sabre Jr.'s, you know.
Numbers?
Yeah. I don't think that he's. I think he's certainly going to do better than like a Yoshihashi or a Juice Robinson, but you know, he's not winning the thing.
He smells like a guy that like he could pick up some early wins. Like he's going to be one of those guys that you know gets the shock win over somebody. like he'll get a shock win over like a Tanahashi or something, or you know, something that you would not expect. Like I see that him in him.
How about Minoru Suzuki?
Yes.
I say so too. Could you imagine Omega versus Suzuki?
See, here's the thing. When they announced those blocks, and apparently they're not announcing these blocks during these Kazuna Road shows.
Well, I heard, look, here's what I heard. I heard that they're announcing this whole thing throughout the course of three shows.
Oh, right. Why?
Why would you do that?
Right. I don't understand that.
Like,
at
they're
all.
Going to announce, I forget how they're doing it. I think they're announcing the blocks on one, or no, they're announcing the participants first, then they're
and
announcing
then the blocks,
then on the third night, they're announcing the actual matches.
Oh, God almighty. I mean, that's really unnecessarily drawing that out.
Couldn't they have just done this at Dominion Payment?
I know. Just one video package.
Need to be an intermission. Just do it after, you know.
Yeah, just, I mean,
do
like
it after
I said,
a tag
little,
match.
Yeah, a little pop that video up like they do every year. Come on. That's silliness. Silliness. Nonsense.
While we're on the Suzuki Goon subject, how about Davey Boy Smith Jr.?
He's coming back this tour, right?
Yeah, he is going to be on the next Kizuna Road show, which is this Tuesday, actually.
I'll tell you, that's a guy who had a really strong tournament. I think it was 2015, 14. Yeah, that go back and watch some of those matches. He really did a stellar job.
He's one of my favorites. I wish they would utilize him more. I think he's a great talent.
I think, you know, before Lance Archer got hurt with his back issue, I think they were slam dunk tag team champions. That's for sure.
So we're penciling in Davey Boy Smith Jr. Then
pencil him in. Don't put it in pen. Nope,
well, I'm writing in pen. I'm sorry.
No,
I can throw out the paper though.
Have to scratch it. I'll give it a solid pencil right now.
That leaves us with five more participants left.
Oh, okay. Well, G.O.D.
Both of them.
They've had them before. They always had Gallows and Anderson in there.
So we're going to see Tongaloa in a G1 climax is what you're telling me. All right.
Yep.
All right. How about Billy Gunn?
No.
Okay. No Billy. Oh, wait. How about Fale?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we'll put in Fale. I didn't put in G.O.D. I guess I should. Damn it. You're going to make me do it, aren't you?
Put him in.
All right. Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa. That leaves us with two more
spots.
Makabe.
Makabe's in there.
All right, so Makabe, and then we've got one more. Want to think outside the New Japan box? Tiger Mask W.
Yeah. What about Dubs?
No, I don't. I don't think so. I think that's what everyone is hoping for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. That I mean, look, we're not going to see Shibata in this tournament. We're not going to see Honma. You know, there's two names right there taken out of the equation. And Shibata, you know, that match that he had with Okada at Sakura Genesis, it's a shame because I felt that really solidified him officially as like in the big five. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And he was taken out of that. So in my mind, we need somebody on that same caliber, and Tiger Mask W, aka Mr. Kota Ibushi, is certainly on that same level. But I just don't. He's a weirdo, man. I don't think he wants to do it.
I don't think so either. What do you think of that? I don't think so either. I think he has zero desire to do G1.
He's doing his research. He's in his lab. You know.
I don't think he has any desire to do it.
No.
I would be surprised if he was in this. Too much of a commitment. He doesn't seem like a big commitment guy.
No, he really doesn't. Seems like he's scared of that.
Yeah. Chad Ibushi, I'm going to start calling him.
Hey, a lot of people have said that's always been Ibushi's problem. His you know, that's why they haven't. That's why he never won the IC title. That's why he won that. He never won the NEVER title because of his unwillingness to commit.
Look, let's be truthful. He should be in fucking Orlando right now.
He should, but he couldn't even commit to that.
Chad, Chad Ibushi. He is a Chad. All right. Who's the last spot, Colin?
How about an All Japan guy?
Listen, I don't think it's going to be Kenta Miyahara, but
who would you put in there? Because you're way Kenta more Miyahara. Familiar with the product than I am. Realistically, who would you put in there? Who on that roster do you think has the best realistic shot of being in the tournament?
I really don't know. I'm going to be truthful. I really don't know. I mean, here's the problem that I have. You can't put a guy in there that's going to. Well, I mean, they did it with Noah. You know, they had their top guys in there, and their top guy. Well, here's the thing: their top guys won too, right?
Right. Mara Fuji beat Okada.
Yeah.
I'm saying the last participant is Cody.
We never said his name.
We never said Cody's name. I can read off you for you the names we have so far.
Okay.
And you can kind of keep count here in your mind. So we've got Okada.
Right.
Tanahashi.
Right.
Naito.
Right.
Elgin.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. Sanada. Omega. Ishii. Yuji Nagata. Yoshihashi. Goto. Yeah. Juice. Yeah. Zach. Yeah. Suzuki. Davey Boy Smith Jr. Bad Luck Fale. Tamatanga, Tongaloa, Togi Makabe, and Cody. Right. That's 20, right?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I'm thinking maybe like an older guy from All Japan, maybe a Akiyama. I don't think they're going to have like Doring in it. I'll guarantee you Doring's not going to be in it. I don't think Bodyguard. I'm just thinking fucking names off the top. You know what would be a fucking great name?
What's that?
Jake Lee. Seen Jake Lee in All Japan, that's a pretty fucking good name. He's an up-and-coming kind of kid. He's not like a young lion. He's past that point. A rising star. That's an interesting fucking name, Jake Lee. If we're going to do a little tie-in with All Japan in this somehow, Jake Lee's a fucking good name. Again, pencil it in.
All right.
Trust me on that one. Check him out. Jake Lee might be the best of the bunch for an All Japan name. That might be a good one.
Well, I think that with this tournament, you have to have your IWGP Heavyweight Champion in it, which will be Cody. So I think we're looking at a it's really a Cody year, isn't it? 2017 has been a Cody year.
I don't know what's going on.
What's going on in the world?
I don't know what's going on in the world. Ah, I love it. Oh, look. Hey, look. It's only pro wrestling, but I like it. Yes, I do.
Well,
all right.
Before we wrap up today's show, Damon, just want to mention the main event for this Tuesday, Kizuna Road from Korakuen Hall. Can you guess what title's on the line?
Never, right?
Yeah, the Never Openweight six-man tag titles, the trios titles, as I call them. On one side, we've got the challengers, Kushida, Juice Robinson, and Taguchi, taking on LIJ.
Title change?
No.
No.
How about that? No.
A successful defense.
Yeah, successful defense for LIJ. We're building this up, man. We're building the territory here. We're making this we're making these trio titles mean something.
I'm saying title change.
Okay.
And I'm saying Juice comes into Long Beach as a never open weight champion.
And by the way, if anyone picked the team of Kushida, Juice, and Taguchi as the next Trios champions.
Let us know.
Yeah. Hit me up on Twitter and show me the proof of that, because it was so long ago. And if they win, you might be getting a nice little
something.
Damon McDonald autograph on like a piece of toilet paper.
A bottle of bourbon.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Yeah, let us know. And again... we've been contacted by many a graphic artist.
Yes, we have some talented ones at that.
Yeah, so we're working with one, and I'll be in contact with another shortly. So yeah, we got some nice little stuff right around the corner for that as well. So good.
And
stuff
also,
there.
Those who are attending these Long Beach shows, they're going to be getting a nice little prize package from who, Damon?
That would be our good friends Colin at Gaijin Collectibles.
That's
who
right.
Has sent over 25 gift bags. So 25 of the literally hundreds of people that are going to come to this fucking meetup. 25. We don't know how we're going to give it away. It might be a phrase that pays kind of thing. So you need to come up to me at Congregation Ale House right after the G1 show on Saturday. Congregation again helping us out big time with not only giving us the space for this, but we'll have shots with New Japan themes named just for this special event.
The again, Bad Luck Fall,
the High Five Flow. The fucking Elgin Bomb.
The King Kong knee drop.
That's right. Well, they'll have it. And food specials and everything. So, again, check them out on Facebook, Twitter, on Instagram. They are Congregation Ale House. Great, great spot. Plenty of beers. It should be a great time. But, yeah, Gaijin Collectibles, they hooked us up big time. They got the packages the other day. 25 gift bags will be given away. And we're looking at a good time come these G1. Listen, the shows, they might not be what we're looking for, kids, but guess what? We're going to have a good time nonetheless.
And, of course, GaijinCollectibles.com, your number one source for all of your Japanese pro wrestling merchandise shipped straight to your door from Japan.
Best. They are the best. Good people at Gaijin Collectibles. I had a friend who just recently had a purchase. Couldn't speak highly enough. From Gaijin Collectibles. So if you are looking for the Puro merch, geez Louise, at this point, I don't know what to tell you. It's Gaijin Collectibles. That's what I'll tell you. GaijinCollectibles.com.
Damon, before we wrap this bad boy up, any final words that are ruminating in your in the crevices of your mind?
Colin, I got to be honest with you. I'm all in tonight. Is you too? I am super pumped. They're doing the Joshua Tree front and back. They're going to play a song that I've never heard live. It's one of my favorite songs of all time, Red Hill Mining Town.
Great song.
You're going to see 30,000 grown men in tears. And it'll be wonderful. It's going to be a party time tonight for Damon, as always, it seems like, right? Always, again, the eye of the hurricane. So that's going to be fun. Listen, I feel bad that this podcast turned out a little negative, but we tried to have a little fun with it, and it is what it is. So there you go. We love you, New Japan, but you fucked up.
Well, folks, I think that about does it for today's show. We just want to thank everyone, as always, for tuning in each and every week. It brings us a lot of joy to know that we're making your work week, your work day, your journey to school, to college, whatever it may be, a little bit more enjoyable with the PuroCast. So we thank you for that. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com is where you can listen to the episodes as they are uploaded. Of course, links to Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole bit on there. And, of course, we're up on VoicesOfWrestling.com each and every Monday afternoon. So check them out, and we're going to be back here next week to talk all about the Kizuna Road Show, which is happening this Tuesday from Corken Hall on NJPWWorld.com. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week. See ya.